This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Shores, let's all climb aboard. Come aboard the gravy boat. Over here in Buffalo.
The gravy boat song.
A gravy boat song.
Yeah. Night before Thanksgiving.
But they call it amateur night. Amateur night?
Yeah, they call it amateur night.
Why?
Because people that don't go out and party hard go out and party hard and they're a bunch of amateurs.
Oh. That's more right, of a reasonable right. explanation Stop. Than I was expecting, Stop. Actually.
803-0550. I didn't invent that today. I didn't call it that. It's called amateur night.
Well, you just brought it up, though.
Yes, because I've heard it before. I'm not crazy. People call it amateur night.
Amateur night.
This is like when you said you never heard anybody say Sabes before. It's like... People say
that,
Sabes.
I'm telling you, had never happened until you brought it up.
People say amateur night.
No, there are two other names for it. One of them is Drinksgiving.
Okay.
The other one's Blackout Wednesday.
Yeah. Amateur night.
I've heard of Blackout Wednesday. I've not heard of amateur night. Until now. Now I have.
Anybody tweeting at us that they also call it that?
Amateur night? I mean, I searched amateur night and it didn't come up.
Well, I mean... You know.
Well, I mean, if it's called that, I mean, you would think like first nine results or something, right?
Yeah, the first I saw was Blackout Wednesday.
I think you made it up. I think you made it up. That's my guess. That's what I think just happened. Same thing with Sabes.
Listen, they're saying Sabes on the broadcast
Everybody's
now.
Everybody's saying it now.
That's right.
They're going to be putting on a jersey.
Big one for the Sabes tonight.
Right, within 10 years, that's going to be on a jersey.
Let's hope.
In diagonal
if
lettering.
If we play our cards right. There will be a jersey that says Sabes in 10 years. Yes. I think we can do it. Sabes. What do they call the Wild? See, that's one problem.
It's the dumbest name in the whole sport.
That's the problem with that name is, what do you say?
Let's name some Wild.
Joel Erickson Eck?
It just doesn't work.
Right, there's got to be a name for them that's like a loving name.
Because like Lightning, you have Bolts.
Yeah.
I don't think there is one for the Wild. I really don't think there is one for the Wild.
The Dubs? That's the Warriors.
See, yeah, they were late to that. Right? They should have got to that. Because if you say the Dubs, it's the Warriors.
The Warriors.
But the Warriors earn that because they actually get Dubs in the Wild. I don't know. Isn't every season of their entire eternity the same? They make the playoffs and then they lose to St. Louis or Chicago in the first round.
Yeah.
Isn't that their whole existence? Has they ever had a different season?
The Wild?
Yeah.
No, I feel
first
like
round
year's
exit
been the same.
Every single year.
803-0550. Somebody's going to call and say that, yes, we call it amateur night.
We have a lot of people calling in.
People are busy, Joe. They've got things to do. No, it's a busy time of year.
I'm saying we have phone lines ringing right now, which is making me think you might be onto something.
Rich in Lakeview, amateur night?
Happy amateur night, bro.
All right.
Absolutely. I have never wished for Howard Simon to be back at least one day a week to bridge the gap in generations. Our sports shaman, who has a foot in another decade. I mean, Jerry, you're there. You know, you're getting up there with the rest of us.
Yeah.
But we got some youngins. And it's also Sabes. Hockey, if not anything else, at least it's not Sabes.
No.
Something like they add everything on there. That just doesn't sound right.
I mean, I threw the swords out once
you
upon
did,
a time
you did
as
do
an
that.
Idea.
Well, you did do that.
Listen, I hear this, and from what I've found living around and traveling around the country, and I don't know how it was out in Auburn, Syracuse area, but Thanksgiving Eve, you know, the amateur night, I mean, I think it's like one of those songs that hit the top 10. You have the title, and then in parentheses, what's it really known by?
Yeah.
So it's like Thanksgiving Eve, parentheses.
Amateur night.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Yeah. Awesome.
But, yeah, you know, around the country, some people don't even go out because there's so many areas, like, say, in Atlanta, New York, places where people, you know, move into the area. They're traveling homes, and I think this is a kind of an expatriate, expat kind of, expatriates, so that way nobody thinks it's shortened to Sabes. You know, it's maybe could be a Buffalo thing, too, but I'm long since past this. Now it's making stuffing while watching the Sabres on TV.
Nice.
That's what it'll be.
Thanks Rich.
Thanks for carrying the torch, brother.
Yeah, thanks for calling. Thankful for you. You not only amateur night, but also Sabres. See, I told you it had a thing. It had a name. Amateur night. Look at this. We got Joe and Clarence, a DJ. This is an authority on the matter. Hey Joe, what's up?
What's happening, guys? Thanks for the call.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for calling.
I've been a DJ for over 40 years, and the Wednesday before Thanksgiving has always been amateur night. Everybody that's moved away from the area, coming back to town, reuniting with old friends. Hey, let's go out for drinks. Yep. They haven't drank in a long time. it's amateur night.
Yeah. So I got the basic, the etymology of it. What am I looking for? It's basically because people that maybe don't often tie one on, have an excuse, family's around, you don't have to get up in the morning, you're just going to hang out with family and eat, so you can kind of, you know, get after it.
Absolutely, and you know the next day you're going to be pounding food until you're in a coma.
That's right.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
You bet.
Happy Thanksgiving to you as well. It's fun, you know, it is one of these moments, though, however, as I got a couple more, like, texts rolling into my phone.
Yeah.
It is one of these moments, though, where it's like, see, I'm right, but all the people that are saying it are also old.
Exactly.
And I was just like, okay, all right, it's fine. I'm not against being a little bit old, but it is very much a, let Grandpa tell you what we used to call this night, Joe.
We just call, for my whole life, it's just been Thanksgiving Eve.
Right.
That's it.
Are there any great Saber memories from this night? Game memories from this night?
Yes, there is actually.
Are you about to run trivia?
I have trivia also, but it's not related to this.
Right.
And by the way, six years ago tonight, he has the clip. You want it?
6 years ago tonight. A Sabres game. Ooh. Well, 6 years ago tonight. Okay, if it's the date, I know it's going to be.
Yeah, it's the date.
It's
exactly
the date.
6 years ago, which maybe wouldn't have been Thanksgiving Eve then.
No, it was the world's largest disco because the Sabres scored a shootout winner and the world's largest disco went nuts because was that their 10th win?
It wasn't a shootout winner, though.
Overtime?
Yep.
Okay. Was it there? Was it the Skinner goal?
Yeah.
Against San Jose?
Roar before the horn.
Yeah.
San Jose.
6 years ago, huh?
And Skinner couldn't quite get a piece of it. Well, it stepped back again, kept in again, came in front of the net. Here it is in front again. Here's Skinner back. He scores! Jeff Skinner has done it again. Jeff Skinner wins it for Buffalo in overtime.
Hey, there's Tate Thompson in the video.
You asked for it. You got it. These guys are good.
I should have told Josh. I always want it turned down before that clip, because then it makes me mad about what happened after.
Yeah,
rather than just appreciate the moment.
You know, do you know what I remember about that night?
What?
One of the things I remember about that night was I tweeted something to the effect of, "Saber Sharks. It was really great to see the world's best Swedish defenseman and also Erik Karlsson."
Oh, yeah.
I was happy about that one. I'm pretty sure it was after that game because Dahlin great play.
Dahlin makes right. a behind the back pass or something to himself.
Yeah.
That ends up getting to Skinner.
Right. That's what elicited me to shade Erik Karlsson like that. Just, you know, you think of a good line, you go for it.
And we were talking about this the other day. If you watch that video, like, the third player to hug Skinner is Tage Thompson. Like, he's on that team.
That's crazy.
6 years ago, he scored an important I think, overtime goal or shootout goal against Detroit during the 10-game win streak. Yeah. Thompson did. Well before he got good. Well before.
803-0550. Kevin in South Buffalo. Hey, Kevin, good morning.
Hey, Jer, quick. You know, I don't have a sizzling sports take because all of our teams are kind of where they need to be for Thanksgiving. I mean,
that's right.
After the UB Bulls game last night, that was a blast. Hey, quickly, you talked about your colonoscopy, and I'm just going to touch on this quickly. You know, I know it's super important. Everybody out there over the age of 45, just get it done. Like Jer said, it's not that bad, the setup, the whole process. But afterwards, Jer, I had my mom as my designated driver because when you come out of the colonoscopy, right, you're a little bit out of it.
You're not allowed to drive.
Right, you're sedated, can't drive. But I was starving. I was so hungry. Mom took me over to Wegmans, and she cut me loose in Wegmans by myself. I'm wandering around Wegmans, right, half out of it, Jer, buying all this stuff. So when I got home, I took a nap because you're tired, right? You go, oh, man, I'll take a nap. Yeah. So I got up, and I go in the fridge several hours later, and I'm finding things like canned peaches, macaroni and cheese, like all stuff I would, like, I don't know, would never really buy. And I'm going, why did I have all this food in my fridge? And my mom, like, just cut me loose completely out of it to go shopping by myself. So then when I got, you know, got out of it, started to make all this food, I was just, you know, ground down. I was eating to everything that I could, you know, basically cook. But the other thing, too, on the setup is don't eat a lot before the week before. Don't eat steaks. Don't eat barbecue. Eat light. Because then when you're, you know, fasting, you don't have all that tons of heavy food to digest in your system before you go in. So that's my take on colonoscopies. Everybody have a great Thanksgiving, and make sure you're not going in for your colonoscopy the day after Thanksgiving.
That's right. Yeah,
that's my point. Thanks, man. Have a great one, guys.
You too, Kevin. Thanks. Yeah, thanks, it'd be a bad weekend to do it. The best piece of advice I got doing it, I did it 2 weeks ago, was a buddy who's has had a couple. He said, "Everything that is happening is supposed to happen." That's what he said to me. It's like you're. Mm-hmm. Everything that's happening is supposed to happen. Like, okay. It was fine. I was not, again, like, I think different, you might have different experiences, different places. I was not that out of it when I got out of it. Like, if you're worried about that part of it, I woke up, you're not allowed to drive. My wife picked me up, and then I was very coherent. It was good to go. I was not crazy out of it. So I know some people might be, but I was not.
Also, thanks. Never grocery shop when you're starving.
That's true.
Another lesson from this.
And one last point of it, like, they told me, you know, for your screenings, we talk about these Roswell cancer screenings all the time and how important they are. When I saw my primary, they're like, oh, you're 45, you should do this. When one of the things they said was, you know, that once you do it, you don't have to do it all the time. You might get cleared for 5 years, maybe 10 years. And I thought, oh, well, that sounds great. Like having peace of mind and all that. So I would, get your screenings as best you can. 803-0550. Thanks for the phone call, Kevin. And glad to hear you got yours. Bills and Niners, 8:25. What time does Sunday Night Football even kick off? 8:25.
I think it's 8:20.
Okay, 8:20. Good.
Generally 8:20.
Tirico, Collinsworth.
I really have no idea what this game's going to be.
I think the Bills are going to. I do. I have an idea what this game's going to be. The Bills are going to win comfortably.
But that's where I'm at. Like, I think the Bills will win no matter what. I'm just wondering how possible it is that they just annihilate the Niners.
I think that is possible.
That they just, right. It looks like the last time they played them. The last time they played them, they annihilated them, didn't they? In the COVID year?
Yes.
That's against Shanahan.
In Arizona, it was one of Josh's best games. They were amazing.
Yeah, 45-16. 45-16, which I've seen Shanahan over the years quote that game. I think this was actually closer when he drafted Trey Lance, or maybe explaining it after the fact, that game did a lot for him to realize just what a quarterback with those gifts can do.
Yeah.
And that's why they took a swing on a quarterback that had just tools and nothing else in the draft, and it failed.
Right.
And they've ended up back at a guy like they kind of had before, just maybe a little better. But that game, Allen put on a show, and the coach on the other side of the field was like,
oh, I need one of those.
I need one of those.
Yep, I need one of those guys.
And he still doesn't have one.
No,
he has a good one, though. It's just Purdy's not Allen.
No, Purdy is pretty good, but he's not Allen. Purdy, he does get more credit than he did a year ago, or 2 years ago even. How long has he been on the scene here, right? He was.
This is his third year, right? Okay. He came in halfway through his rookie year, though.
Right. It's funny, like these whether this is Tua or Purdy, these guys are both mentioned the same way. When you're in a perfect offense, it's hard to get credit for it. And when you have all these weapons around you, it can be hard to get credit for it. It's one of the reasons maybe Allen has the best chance he's ever had to win the MVP is because people generally think the pieces around him, not that they're not good, but he's not playing with A.J. Brown, Saquon Barkley. Like you're hearing almost no Jalen Hurts MVP talk. Almost none.
Nothing.
And that team is very good, and he's having a fine season. So, you know, I like Allen's chance to win the MVP. I like this game for them. I think they'll be just fine. Off a bye week, the Bills win all the time. December, they win all the time.
Yeah.
Primetime, they win almost all the time.
It feels like it's so weird, though, that like everything reads like Bills, Bills, Bills. But they are playing the San Francisco 49ers. Who, like, you just say that, and it's like, that does mean something. Like, they've been a top team for 5 years here, at least. But, and they are going to have guys playing, but, like, how banged up are they? And really, for me, it's also why I can't get there to just saying, well, it's the Niners, so it'll be a close game, is Purdy's injury. Like, it's not really the Niners if Purdy can't make all the throws. And what the Bills' defense is becoming... Like, I won. They kind of have all the answers. We'll see if Milano plays. I'm seeing more. We talked about this with Joe Marino earlier, that they're the best man coverage team in football this year. And that there's another thing I just saw on Twitter. This was also from Cody Alexander. That the Bills are forcing teams to the outside more than they ever have before. That they are closing off the middle of the field. Like, the Bills, feels like they are now operating on defense. Like, they know they have got two amazing corners. And they are just daring teams. Throw it outside. Go ahead. We're not giving you the middle of the field. We're going to protect our linebackers a little bit more. We're going to protect our safeties. And you go ahead. I dare you to throw at Benford and Douglas. And it's not working for teams. Or with Benford, they're not even throwing at him. They are throwing at Douglas, and it's not very efficient. They're not even throwing at Benford.
Benny Blankets. Are we going with that one? Benny Blankets?
I've seen him get some love for first-team All-Pro.
I mean, he should.
But I just wonder if he'll get that recognition yet.
So on strength of schedule and the one seed race, the Chiefs' remaining opponents' combined record and the Bills' opponents' combined record. Okay?
Okay.
Chiefs' remaining opponents are 34 and 34. The Bills are 29 and 39.
Five game difference.
But of course, there's one key thing in there.
What's that?
Games against teams over 500. The Bills have one. The Chiefs have four. If you take away the Lions,
yeah,
the Bills' remaining opponents are 19 and 38.
Right.
Like,
it's bad.
Yeah. Crazy. So, I whatever. The Chiefs close out with two road games at Pittsburgh and at Denver, and both those teams could be playing for a playoff spot. Pittsburgh could be playing for a divisional title.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're going to have get their best shot. And if the Chiefs have a two-game lead on the one seed with two games to play, I might think the Bills still have a good shot at it. Like, the idea of the Chiefs losing two in a row, I know, is tough.
Yeah.
But those are two tough games.
I remember saying this about Miami last year. That
right.
It was
they had a three-game lead, and we thought, hey, that'll be okay.
But it was like, don't be afraid if they're going to be two games out with two games to play. I feel like I remember that being said about the division race last year, and that feels similar this year with the one-seed race. And in addition to that, Kansas City just doesn't look good. Like, I don't even know. Like, I really – that Panther win did do a lot for me in even caring about this week because they didn't blow them out. That was a bad Panther team that they didn't blow out. And if they had done that, I might go, okay, well, Raiders this week, I'll just bypass that. They're going to beat them. The Raiders stink. And the Raiders do stink. But I don't know. That 3-point win over Carolina is going to make me care more about this Friday game and thinking that, okay, the Raiders could actually pull an upset. Like they did, by the way, a year ago. They did it on Christmas. And they can't with their schedule, I mean, they can't really drop one like that. Probably. I mean, I don't, unless the Bills are going to match that and drop one to a bad team, but I just don't see that happening. Who do you think is more likely to lose a game they shouldn't right now, Chiefs or Bills? Wouldn't everybody say the Chiefs?
Oh, I for sure would. I mean, lose a game they shouldn't. I might even say they should lose a game. They should lose a game to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And I know Pittsburgh just lost to the Browns, but you know, the Browns and Jameis are different. Anyway,
I have the dog of the day.
Oh, you haven't?
Yeah.
Is it Thanksgiving themed?
No.
Is it Minnesota themed?
Yes. I believe so. Yes.
Was Josh on the right track with Hot Dish?
No. So a lot of times they'll do a tribute to a person, and I'm just confirming where this person is from. Yes. From Duluth, Minnesota.
Yeah.
Bob Dylan. The
okay.
Hot dog is the Mr. Tambourine Man. Panini pressed footlong dog topped with Italian sausage, onion, tomato sauce, provolone.
Okay.
Panini pressed dog, Italian sausage, onion, tomato, provolone.
Hot dog and Italian sausage?
Yeah.
Hmm.
It's not bad.
Why does that seem weird to me?
I don't know.
Usually, I think it's because you're usually choosing one or the other on the same table or the same bun.
This one's going to blow your mind.
All right, on the same bun.
All right.
Which I think means they're doing... I think this opens up the door for Josh's idea of a leftovers dog on Friday.
On Friday?
Absolutely.
Friday against...
Because Vancouver. What's Vancouver known for? Nothing.
Seafood.
All right. Thanksgiving. You go Thanksgiving for that.
You say Vancouver, I think orcas.
Bring in real...
I don't know if you can eat an orca. Probably not.
You probably can't do that. They're a type of dolphin, aren't they?
I feel like if I Google it, they'll find out about it and they'll come sink a boat.
I'd be stunned if it's not illegal to eat an orca.
Well, I mean, orcas are, you know, they're getting some revenge. Is there such a thing? No, there's grilled.
They're getting some revenge.
Orcas, yeah. They're sinking ships.
That's right. That's right. I've seen that.
So, funny enough, unintentional comedy. I Googled grilled orca, and what I got back was grilled okra, which is not the same. Not the same thing.
No.
All right. We're going to break in 803-0550. Bills and Niners coming your way. Consider this the Thanksgiving pregame show. Weather looks nice.
Right now, it looks great. There's not a cloud in the sky.
Good grill cleaning weather. I got to clean out the grill for the smoked turkey.
Still got to start your snowblower, too.
I do have to start my snowblower. Maybe I'll do that today.
I got some trivia to you before the end of the show, too, by the way.
All right. I'm in for that. And we got to put together a parlay.
Yes, so a Thanksgiving parlay with three games.
Yes, because usually we do a three-way parlay for Thursday Night Football. We're not on tomorrow, so we'll do a three-way, three-leg Turkey Day parlay and try to, you know, score something. Jeremy and Joe on WGR. All right, there's three games coming up tomorrow. We usually do a Thursday three-leg parlay, but instead, we're doing it on Wednesday because, well, we're not here tomorrow. So we're going to each pick a game and pick a leg from that game and throw together our parlay. I want a David Montgomery touchdown. I'm just trying to find out how fancy you want to get with it. Like two touchdowns, first team touchdown. It's a revenge game for Montgomery, and Dan Campbell knows it.
Mm-hmm.
He said as much. Even if he is banged up, he's not going to be able to keep Montgomery off the field, which means he's going to give him the ball to get in the end zone to score against the Bears. So I'll just take it. It's -170, but I'll take David Montgomery anytime touchdown. He scores touchdowns all the time, and there's added bonus for his coach to want to get him in the end zone this week.
All right. Josh, you want to go with the second game, Cowboys-Giants?
Yeah, you left me with the worst game of the week. Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it. Really need a win this week. Really need to get off that scoreboard and not have to watch the Hallmark movie. So we're going to go with hopefully is a safe bet of Cooper Rush over 207 passing yards. I don't know if it's safe or not, but in a game like this, I don't even know what to begin to go for. So we're going to go with that one. See how it goes.
Over 207. All right.
I am...
You're on Packers Dolphins.
I'm on Packers Dolphins, and I'm going to go over 29.5 yards for Devin Achane receiving. I think I had that stat the other day about Tua throwing the ball, obviously not surprising, quickest in the league, and that the Packers are giving up a lot with a quick passing game. And cold weather, dump offs to Achane, maybe game script plays into the Packers' hands a little bit. Achane for 29.5 yards receiving. I think he's going to have some catches in this game. Given the way that I can see it going out game script wise.
There it is.
All right, so Achane over 29.5. This is my leg.
We're in. +464.
All right. Not bad.
watch the games, have a little juice. Fantasy football, get those lineups set.
And also make sure everyone makes this mistake every year. The Thursday Detroit game is not at 1 o'clock. It is 12:30. Or is it 12? I'm just double checking that right now. See, I don't even know. 12:30. 12:30 tomorrow is the. So get your lineup set then. You don't have till 12:45 to make your lineup this week. And that's a game where you could be starting a lot of guys.
Yeah.
You'd be starting Goff in a lot of places, starting Gibbs,
Montgomery,
St. Brown, for sure.
DJ Moore.
The Bears receivers more for probably, and then maybe one of the other ones, but it's tough to trust them a lot right now on that front.
Big day today from One Bills Drive in terms of some potential injury updates on Matt Milano. It's funny, we've got two different kinds of injury updates. Oh, we're waiting to hear how bad it is. This is a good day. Off the bye, healthy, and whether that's Milano, Keon Coleman, Dalton Kincaid, Spencer Brown, they missed a bunch of pieces from their offense in the last game they just played against the Chiefs. And here they are, could be, you know, pretty close to fully healthy. So, you know, injuries are fluid. You lose guys along the way, but could be a good day of Bills fans feeling healthy for the team.
Yeah. Is Kincaid interesting at all for the next couple of games if he comes back healthy? Like how they're using him? Do we not care anymore? I'm trying to figure out if we care about Kincaid usage and targets anymore. Or if they're deep enough now where maybe nobody cares?
I guess what I would say is this. Anytime you want a player like, I need to see more of this guy. I want to see this guy featured more. It's because when he gets the ball, it's so dynamic, you want more.
Right.
Has Kincaid given them that?
No.
I don't think so either.
No.
So it's not to say you don't want it, but I don't really feel like there's a clamoring for Kincaid other than games where they didn't have answers, you are seeking answers. But talking about Shakir or Coleman or Cooper, these guys have flashed a little bit, popped a little bit. Shakir, of course, efficiency and yards after catch. And Kincaid, it sounds like it's – I'm not trying to insult his game or anything. I think he's a fine player. I just don't think there are as many very easily identifiable wow moments where people say, you got to keep going to this guy. It doesn't seem like it's happened yet.
And also, everybody else seems to kind of have a job a little bit where, like, what would you say? Cooper's role in this offense is what? Take the top off the defense and grab attention on the outside. Get open one-on-one against man coverage. Okay? What's Shakir's job? Yak plays and then over the middle of the field, right? All right? Keon Coleman, his job?
Ball winner.
Maybe Curtis Samuel might say a little bit overlap with Shakir, whatever. What's Kincaid's job? Like, what's the answer to that?
Right.
Would somebody say to that? You might ask five different people and get five different answers.
And you also have a scenario where often when he's on the field, one of those receivers comes off.
Right.
And how many do you like him? Do you like him more than Shakir as an option? Do you like him more than Cooper as an option? Do you like him more than Coleman?
Well, and that comes down to just how good of a player is he?
And matchups. And, you know, what the
other, matchups too.
Where the other team is able to stop a guy versus not.
But if you're one of the best tight ends in football, you're going to get the ball. It's going to happen. You're George Kittle, you're Brock Bowers this year. Like, you're going to find a way to get the football because you're that good. And Kincaid is good, but I don't think through two seasons he looks like he is so dominantly talented at the tight end position where just the other team, they're terrified. They have no idea what to do to stop him. Like, you're going to have games where he takes it over. You don't have that from him. He looks good. He's a good player, but I was hoping that there could be a dominant tight end in there. Maybe there still is, but that has not happened. That has not happened right now where he commands the ball at all. And some of that, by the way, remember, is not his fault. He leads the league amongst tight ends in missed targets.
Right.
And those are not his fault. Allen has missed him 11 times, 11 uncatchable targets where there's nothing he can do about it because Allen and him are just not on the same page on those 11 passes, which 11 passes, you get 7 of them, and maybe that's an extra 200 yards, and we feel differently about him.
Want to play a fun game that they just played on ESPN?
What's that?
They were asking of the top teams, the Super Bowl teams, identify their fatal flaw. Chiefs, Lions, Ravens, Bills were the four I saw up there.
Okay.
What's the Bills' fatal flaw?
The Bills' fatal flaw is...
You can give me your answer and then also what you think they might have said. What is their fatal flaw?
Their kicker?
That's pretty far down the line.
Like, is that my answer, though? That might be my answer. Like, I don't... If you're in a close game, I do not trust Tyler Bass right now. Is there something, though, that beats that? Like, I'm not giving you the run. I'm not answering for myself the run defense. Like, I'm not saying that. You can't say, like, injuries is a cop-out, because you could say that for anybody, so yep. That would be a dumb answer. Would McDermott in general be a popular answer for people?
Answer for some people. It was not the answer given.
Yeah, McDermott late in games. I don't know. Allen turnovers. I mean, I'm going to lose my mind if that was their answer. But
it was not.
Okay, good. I don't know. What was it?
It's funny. It brings it all full circle. It was which wide receiver is going to be the guy.
The guy.
That was it. Which wide receiver is going to be the guy?
Okay. And that implies in the playoffs.
Yes. Yeah, like who's going to step up for them when they really need it?
Okay.
As a fatal flaw. Whereas, I guess the other teams, you would have that more easily identified. Maybe.
Would you? Kansas City's got Kelsey.
If you're the Ravens, that's Derrick Henry. I don't know. Like they just.
I don't know.
They each threw out a name and then threw up a fatal flaw. So that's what it was. That's what their answer was, which I don't think I would agree with. I think their weapons are fine. Could they be better? Sure. I think their weapons are just fine.
I am perfectly good with their weapons right now.
If I was to say what I think their fatal flaw might be, it might be a bad day running the ball and too stubborn to get out of it. That's the thing I always worry about. Slow starts.
Yep.
Running the ball because you want to. And it's not going well, and because of that, the team you're playing against is in the game.
Yep.
We've seen that a couple times this year. They've overcome it. They overcame it against the Chiefs. They overcame it against the Cardinals. They overcame it against Tennessee, where they get slow starts and don't run well, and then they just, oh, okay, sorry about that. We'll play, but we'll throw it. So, part of that game against the Chiefs, I mean, they did not run the ball well. They ran the ball a lot. Allen ran it well. So, I mean, again, like you're looking, if you're nitpicking, you're trying to find that, I guess that's my answer. I don't know what else I'd put above it.
I don't know that. It's also possible to me they just don't really have one. That doesn't mean you have to win. You have to win the Super Bowl, but I don't. My struggle with this is I don't know that I would consider anything their fatal flaw. But once they traded for Cooper, had they not done that, I might have gotten to, for this, you just don't have anybody that wins on the outside. But once you get Cooper and you've got that guy and now everybody else is pushed down a slot and it looks a little better there, like I think they answered their question. I think they had a fatal flaw and they filled it. They went out and they filled it. And I think the other teams are, it could be just as easily said about them that they don't have that guy. Unless you're like Houston. They have Nico Collins.
And so do you now in Dynasty.
I traded for Nico Collins yesterday. Yes, you did. Yep. After you had been hunting him for
weeks. I had. I backed off.
And I jumped in?
And I found out via email. The owner in our league can't
So you think that's fantasy?
I think if you're dealing in fantasy football, a trade, and you've been talking about it for weeks, then when the other offer comes in, you say, like, listen, I got a good one. I'm going to take it right now unless you want to give me something else.
You're saying not even just to inform them I'm taking it, but to give them one last shot.
A courtesy. We're back and forth. Or, hey, I got a better offer. I'm going to take the better offer. That would allow me to even say the words, ho, wait a minute. Maybe I can, and if I can't convince you, then that's fine. But, yeah, weeks and weeks and weeks of discussions gone in an email. It's fine. Extendo Sports coming up. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Happy JJ the Turkey Day. It's Sabres and Wild tonight. We'll be right here on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right. Sabres and Wild tonight. During the Sabres playoff drought, the Sabres have made 6 trades with the Minnesota Wild, which, by the way, is only topped by Montreal. They made 7 trades in Montreal.
So what am I going for here?
How many of the 6 Sabres wild trades can you remember? The Montreal one, by the way.
Players coming in or players going out?
These are both. There's a player, a name player, though, involved in every one of their trades. There's no, like, 5th-round pick conditional this year for 4th.
I'm not going to remember who went for who, but I've got some names on who was involved in these trades, of course. Like, I'm going to pull one out that you're going to immediately be impressed I got this one.
Okay.
Chris Stewart.
Yes. 2 Minnesota. 4? You wouldn't remember that one.
No.
2nd-round pick. Guess who that 2nd-round pick became?
Matias Samuelson.
Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen.
Okay. Johan Larsson.
Yep. You remember what trade he was involved in?
The Pominville trade.
Yep. Pominville for Matt Hackett, Johan Larsson, a 1st-round pick, and a 2nd-round pick.
That's a lot.
Yep.
That's a lot for Pominville.
Yeah. What did it really become? Larsson.
Sure, but Pominville, a 1st and more?
A 1st, a 2nd, Larsson, who probably would have been one of their top prospects, and then Matt Hackett, who was a prospect.
Matt Molson
was traded to Minnesota.
Yep.
With Cody McCormick.
Okay.
For Torrey Mitchell and 2 2nd-round picks. One is forgettable. The other one they traded for Josh Georges.
Jordan Greenway?
Yep. 2nd and a 5th for Jordan Greenway. That's the most recent.
I'm missing one more trade?
You're missing 2 more trades.
2 more trades.
With 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 players involved. 2 trades, 6 players. One was a 4-player trade. The other was a 1-for-1 hockey trade.
Didn't Vanek get over there?
Oh, Vanek.
Vanek, though, wasn't a part of it. He got there after the Sabres, like 3 teams after.
Right.
He went Sabres to Islanders to Canadiens, then to Minnesota.
I don't know.
Tyler Ennis.
Okay.
And Marcus Foligno.
Oh, right.
4. Jason Pominville.
Oh, Pominville coming
and
back.
And Marco Scandella.
Yeah.
And then the other one was a 1-for-1 trade. Marcus Johansson to Minnesota for...
No idea.
Eric Staal.
All right.
6 trades.
Minnesota in town tonight.
They're good.
Yeah, they are.
I think the Sabres underdogs tonight? They probably are. I haven't looked. I would guess, though, that they're underdogs. Minnesota's very good.
They've had a very good start to the season. If not for Winnipeg, they'd be one of the stories. Like, they've had a really good start. They're actually on Winnipeg's heels. So,
by the way, I made a joke earlier. Like, isn't every season the same? In the last 10 years, these are the wild seasons. First-round exit, second-round exit, second-round exit. First-round exit, first-round exit, first-round exit. Didn't make the playoffs. First-round exit, first-round exit, first-round exit, first-round exit. Didn't make the playoffs. Mm.
That's
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. They've lost in the first round 8 times during the Sabres playoff drought. I'm sure that's probably still a better existence.
Yes.
Even though you just know every year we're just going to lose in the first round again.
Yes, your season ends in April, mid-April.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, the Sabres drought. Most of the seasons have ended in January. Anyway. All right.
No football tonight. Like, even action, too. I think it's the first no college or NFL day for, like, it's been like 4 weeks or something.
Go Lions. Go Cowboys, I guess.
Packers.
Giants. Yeah, go Packers. I will laugh if the Dolphins win a game in 18 degrees, and then 24 hours later, it'll be about... Let me tell you what the Dolphins' record is when the game is 17 or colder.
Well, are you going to be respecting them as a challenge to the Bills in the playoffs if they go on a run and get in and play the Bills?
Yes.
Okay.
The last time they played, it was a 61-yard field goal at home that was the difference.
And I say it that way because if they make it, they will have had to go on a run.
Yes.
So
if they make it, I will think they are a legitimate threat to just about anybody they play. I mean, if they go into Kansas City again, they have to play at 62 below zero. That might be tough. But if they get hot and get in, they would be what? Like a 10-7 team that if Tua had played the whole year might have been 12-5?
Yep.
The biggest. You
know, they also will.
Do you want to know the biggest difference between Skylar and Tua? I saw.
What's that?
Like, broken down. Obviously, like.
Skylar Thompson.
Tua's much better. Skylar Thompson kills that offense. You know why? Sacks. Skylar Thompson is a sack machine. He just gets sacked all the time. And Tua does not. Ball's out. Ball drives get extended. He's better. Tua's also, you know, a couple of years back when Tyreek Hill signed or got traded there, and he said Tua's the most accurate player he's ever caught a pass from. There are indicators that Tua is indeed the most accurate passer. He's legitimately, I mean, he can't make all the throws, but the ones that he makes, he is generally as accurate as they come. So we'll see if they can put it together. But
Green Bay might be the last legitimately good team they have to play.
Okay. And then who's it from there?
Jets, Texans. Texans are good, right?
Eh.
Niners, Browns, Jets.
Interesting finish for them.
If they win tomorrow, look out. Because that's a pretty soft end of the schedule.
Right now, New York Times playoff machine puts them at what percentage to make the playoffs?
I would guess like 20.
35.
Oh, wow.
And if they win...
Wow, that's higher than I thought. Clearly.
If they win and beat the Packers, it's 50.
Man.
50-50 to make it.
That's a huge game for them.
Yep. Give them their wins over the Jets.
I'm rooting for the Packers.
They're up to 73%.
I'm rooting for the narrative to continue.
Yeah, why not?
Not even the narrative. The numbers. He does not perform in the cold. It doesn't happen.
803-0550. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours, to everybody out there. We're back Friday for a Football Friday on WGR.